Now, here's your host, Mark Moses.
Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome indeed, yes, to a Friday edition of the Mark Moses Show, only right here on Sports Radio 107.9 FM, 1560 AM, and anywhere you listen online and podcast. Let's get right into it. I had a lot of fun last night at my draft party. For everyone that came out, I appreciate it. We had a very nice time. It was nice weather. We had plenty of room, plenty of TVs. So, yes, thanks again for coming out to my watch party there at Walk On Sports Bistro. Hopefully, we could do it again next 2025, next year. That'd be a lot of fun. And I'm just, you know, just rattling in my brain all my thoughts at this hour, all my gut reactions from last night. Because I didn't get that chance to, you know, sit on the couch, tweet all night to all my friends and text and all that stuff. No. I was out with the people and I was interacting in person. I know this is a crazy foreign concept to anyone who's probably 20 years and younger, but yes, I went old school and went out and was talking to people for real. So I feel like I was talking, but now I get that audience, that interaction with you where I can finally get everything off my chest. And the first thing I want to say is, that was insane where you had six quarterbacks taken with the first 12 picks in the NFL draft. Six of them. Yesterday in our preview show, we talked about the idea of, all right, five's the benchmark. Do you think there'll be less right at five or more? I thought about four. I went the under, and it appears I was wrong. It was six. Okay, let's say you get to six. Maybe in 32 picks, the top 10, you get three, maybe four. And then the last couple, you get them in the 20s, or maybe at 31, 32. In the first 12 picks, here's what this says. People need quarterbacks. They need them. And especially how the rookie pay grade is now set up, you can take a chance. And if he fails, all right, we'll just draft another one in 2 years or 3 years. That's what my Bears have done now. Trubisky, Fields, and now Caleb Williams. 2017 to 14, that's a seven-year window. You took three quarterbacks in round one in seven seasons. That is wild to think about. But that's the new norm. So if you're, you know, Denver with Bo Nix at 12, all right, we'll see what we got. If it doesn't work, we'll draft another one. And that's going to be the new norm of the NFL. Six of them. And the first defensive player was taken at 15 overall. So everything in the NFL is offense, offense, offense. It's quarterback, it's wide receiver, and it's offensive lineman. The running game, no. We want to throw that football. That puts fans in the stands, and that gets people to watch on TV. Offense, offense, offense. Even though when I go to the playoffs, I always say, run the ball, stop the run. No, it's all, I need a gunslinger, and I need someone who can catch the ball, and I need someone who can protect that guy who's going to throw the ball to that guy who's going to catch the ball. That's the easiest way I could put it. So many quarterbacks. And you know what? Next year, if you have a chance, like you are a college quarterback, and you're like, well, should I go? Should I stay in school? No, go to the NFL. You're going to get drafted now. And it's not like, we'll wait till the second or third round. No, you're going in the first round. These teams have decided they need a quarterback. And it makes sense. That's why I always bring this up. You look at the salary cap of the NFL, and it constantly goes up due to TV contracts. My thought process is the quarterback position is the most valuable and important position in all of sports, but especially in the NFL. The league overall needs great quarterback play. That makes the games more exciting. You don't want fourth string quarterback starting in week 15. You don't want that, but it happens due to injury. That's why I feel like the quarterback position should not count against the overall team salary cap. It should be on the side where the NFL says, okay, every quarterback can make this certain amount of money, and that's just on its own. It has nothing to do with the rest of the team because that quarterback is valuable not only to that city, that franchise, that fan base, but all of football, because of gambling and fantasy football and just the overall product, you need great quarterback play. If there's bad offensive line, if there's bad defensive backs, that's not going to hurt the overall. overall product of the NFL. No, quarterback is important. That's why I feel like, yes, make sure you have a good quarterback. And I know they don't grow on trees, but I just feel like this is my crazy conspiracy theory, is this idea of the salary cap, the quarterback position. No, those should be separate entities. They really should, because they help out the overall feel. And you saw this last night. Quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And you see Atlanta, who made the craziest move of the night, at number eight, they just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million. And then they went out and they got Michael Penix Jr. Hey, we like Cousins, but we better make sure we have a franchise quarterback moving forward. And I know, and this is something you've been hearing all day here on The Fan with all of our fine programming, where Cousins is like, what are you talking about? Why did you draft this guy? Wait, I thought I'm your guy. Well, you are, but you aren't at the same time. And I know the Falcons then had a press conference saying they want to do the model of Green Bay, where you had Favre, then you had Aaron Rodgers, then you had Jordan Love. Yeah, that's great. The difference is that franchise wins football games. You don't. So I'm going to say this from the bottom of my heart. I know you've heard a lot of opinions on this. I think the Atlanta Falcons are the stupidest team in the NFL, and they have no idea what they're doing. And you know what? From a content standpoint, when it comes to the NFL draft, thank you. That made the draft exciting last night, because it's something I constantly bring up if you're new to the show. You have logic, and you have reason, and you have the smart thing to do. And then you have owners with egos, and you have general managers with egos. They don't care about your mock draft. They're not listening to sports radio. They're going with their gut. I'm going to make a move that's so wild and so out there, and if it works, I'm a genius. And if it doesn't work, whatever, I'll just get another job. That's an NFL GM, owner, coach. That's what they do. I'm going to show you, because everyone thinks they're the smartest guy in the room. And they're going to prove it. And they're going to prove it with insane moves in the NFL draft. And honestly, the other thing, I've been reading so many different mock drafts over the last couple of months. They can all burn in hell now. Rest in peace, buddy. It's over. And everyone's mock draft was wrong, because I'm sorry, no one had Michael Penix Jr. at number eight. There was one guy at walk-ons last night. Somehow, he had it right. So you know what? Moving forward, that guy who was sitting by me, I'm going to follow you on social media. I want to hear what you have to say when it comes to mock draft. That's the only guy in the universe had that pick correct. It was amazing. It really was. It was incredible. It really was. So that was awesome. It really was. Let's go to the top. We knew it was going to be Caleb Williams. We knew that. We knew that right away. We knew that for the last couple of months. The minute they traded Justin Fields, what was that, in March to Pittsburgh, you knew the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams. And the watch party I'm at, it didn't get a lot of fanfare. It really didn't, because everyone knew. And then everyone knew at number two with Jaden Daniels to John Torres, Washington Commanders. Everyone knew that pick as well. And then you kind of knew Drake May. So it was exciting, but those first three picks were like, yeah, we know. And they actually happened. They did. But I can't stress this enough. My team has been around since 1920. Yeah. We've never had, and I say we because I've put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears watching this team over the years. And I'm sorry. I hope I'm not just boring you or annoying you to death when I bring this up. They've been around since 1920. They've never had a quarterback in a single season throw for 4,000 yards or have 30 touchdowns in a season. They've been around since 1920. Never happened before. Hopefully it works with this guy, Caleb Williams. And I can't think of a situation where a rookie goes in where he's got a good offensive line. He has Pro Bowl wide receivers. He has a rookie stud wide receiver they took at number nine, Rome Odunze. You have him as well. And Swift, and you just, they got the offensive coordinator from Seattle. Like, everything is set up to win. All you got to do is get behind the wheel of this vehicle, turn it on, put it into drive, and just go forward. I can't think of a situation where a quarterback goes somewhere and it's like, here's the expectation to win right now. That's what's so shocking about it. Maybe also J.J. McCarthy, where he goes to Minnesota, which everyone said that was going to happen. It did. A lot of people thought maybe the fifth, seventh pick. No, he went there in the teens, early teens. McCarthy, another guy, winner at Michigan, And he's going to go there. He's going to throw the ball to some good wide receivers in Minnesota with a team. I know they underachieved last year, but they're also there to maybe contend in 2024. Daniels at two, you're not sure. Where he was a stud at LSU, won the Heisman, all that stuff. All of it. He doesn't have weapons right now. But if you're a Washington fan, I think they have like six picks tonight for round two and three. So they're going to get him some weapons. It's going to be fascinating. Just fascinating to see. But I loved last night. I really did. And it just, when you see all these quarterbacks and it's all offense, all of it, that's the tone that the NFL set for you going into 2024. It's all about offense. Defense wins championships, but they feel like what we saw last season, all right, you need quarterback, you got to make sure you can move the ball down the field, and you got to make offensive big-time moves if you want to win the Super Bowl in the NFL. I loved it. I really did. Now, will I be ordering my 18 Caleb Williams jersey? Oh, yeah. I'm going to get it. I thought it was going to be 13. I think what happened was Caleb's like, I'm going to wear 13 for the Bears. And then Keenan Allen's like, no, you're not. Okay, I'll be wearing 18 for the Bears. And that's what's going to happen. Man, oh man, that was fun. And I'll say this and I'll go to break. I felt bad for the NBA. And I love the NBA. I love talking basketball. It's my favorite sport to play. I love it so much. I really do. They had no business playing last night. I know the Magic played. They won. We're going to break that down today. They were great. Everyone's watching that NFL draft. I'm sorry. I know we talk about, oh, you know, the women's game, Caitlin Clark. They had these amazing viewership, you know, 18 million watching that game. Look, you know the NFL draft. You know it's going to get record number viewership, and it's not even a game. I felt bad for the NBA. The NFL draft crushed the NBA last night. Those are playoff games. No way. It was all NFL. Because I'm sorry to say this. I love hockey. I love baseball. I love basketball. I love soccer. Football is king in this country. It is king. If you don't understand this, you look at TV viewership. And this happens the last couple years. It's like 90 plus out of 100 TV programs last year. NFL games. It's football. Football is king. And especially we live in this state, the great state of Florida. Where we play big-time high school, college, and NFL football. Yeah, football is king. And it feels like we're in the off-season, and we're all going to take vacations, we're going to relax, we're going to talk to our family and friends. And then once we get to August and September, it's time to buckle up, lock in six straight months of football. I'm already behind the scenes. I am working on things for football season now. And what is it, April 26th? It's still months away, and I'm getting ready. And that draft last night, it just gives you that taste. Yeah. And you know what the draft does for you? It gives you hope. Even though deep down you know your team will probably disappoint you and maybe embarrass you, all that stuff, and your buddies are going to rip you for being a Chargers or a Cowboys or a Steelers fan, all that. Oh, yeah, it gives you that hope. And it's what I talked about where it's like, oh, now the Falcons are on the clock. And you see the Falcons fans and they're puffing their chest. Yeah. And then you take Penix and you're like, what? What are you doing? What? I felt that. And I will say this. My brother, he called me about 11 o'clock last night. He was excited. And then I start getting excited. And we're breaking it down. And then he called me again at 7 o'clock this morning. And he's like, that's it. I'm in. Let's go. And I'm like, yeah. And I start playing the NFL primetime music. You know, Chris Berman. You know, you heard it on ESPN. And that starts getting me hyped. I know I'm a sucker, but I'm all in, baby. Let's go. Get me to the fall. And get me to the new season. But we're not there yet. Tonight, rounds two and three, and we're going to break down the full draft on Monday. Today, we're going to go hard, recapping what happened last night. Yeah. What were the Buffalo Bills smoking? And what was Eminem doing? Why was he not performing? He sort of started playing songs from the 8 Mile soundtrack the minute he got on the stage. That would have been awesome. Let's go to break. We'll come back. Tim Walters is going to join us with the Florida Today newspaper. We'll get his thoughts on what the Jaguars did and his thoughts on the draft overall last night. We'll do that next here on a Friday here on the Mark Moses Show.